Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. And today, maybe, just maybe, we're actually going to talk about some good news. And believe it or not, the topic is the housing market. Prices are up, foreclosures are down, mortgage rates are unbelievably low, and it's even getting hard to find a home if you're looking to buy. Just ask anybody who's looking to buy maybe a two-bedroom apartment in the Upper West Side or in Carroll Gardens, or if you're looking to buy a home in northern New Jersey. So with me are Joan Osair with The New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. And Rana, are all these signs that we're seeing, is it for real? Have we turned a corner in the housing market?
In a word, yes. If you look at almost every measure from prices to inventories, which are very small, and that helps drive prices up, the housing market is on the rebound. One very important statistic is that housing starts, which are the number of new projects in the private sector being started, those were up 82% at the end of last year. And what that says is that this recovery has legs, because if you think of when a housing project is started to when it's completed, that's a process of several months. And that then has a knock-on effect in the broader economy.
But who's actually buying these homes right now? I mean, credit is really hard to get. Joe, are we seeing, you know, a certain type of buyer that's coming in?
One of the things that's happening is that private equity funds and other large investors are buying properties, sometimes single-family homes, sometimes apartment buildings, which they are then renting. So one of the things that's happening in the country is so many people have damaged credit because of the housing crisis. They can barely refinance. They can't buy a home if they want to now. They've lost their home through foreclosure. They need a place to live. And so, you know, big investors are taking advantage of that. The rules around that have been loosened that make it easier for them to buy these properties. And that's one of the things that's driving the housing boom in certain places like Las Vegas, or other cities that were really, really hard hit during in the post-bubble era.
Is that a good or a bad thing if private equity firms are going in and buying up homes and turning them into rentals?
I think it's a very good thing, because I think otherwise a lot of people would have problems finding a place to live. I sense disagreement from Rana.
Well, no. I actually think that there's a case to be made for renting. In fact, Time did a big cover story on that in the wake of the financial crisis. And there are a lot of experts like Bob Shiller, for example, from Yale, the housing guru, who would argue that renting is far better for the economy, that it unleashes more wealth, and that if you look at 100 years of housing prices, you don't really make that much money on houses. Of course, for any of us that have bought property in New York City, that's a message that doesn't always get through, because there is a difference, and this is an important thing in the U.S. housing market. There's a big difference between certain very desirable urban markets and much of the rest of the country. So we're definitely starting to feel that boom in New York City. And there are other parts of the country, San Francisco, experiencing a similar rise. But there's plenty of places where housing is still very cheap, the most beleaguered parts of Florida, for example, and that there are still tons of houses that can go into foreclosure. Both Joe and I have written about San Bernardino and Stockton, California, that actually considered using government powers of eminent domain to seize back underwater mortgages because their economy is just completely tanked by the housing crash.
Well, both of you are talking a lot about, you know, rent versus own, but we really have these government policies that are more in favor of and really promote and push ownership, whether it's tax deductions or the fact that the government is really backing up, you know, so many of the loans that are being issued right now. You know, how do you square that circle?
The country has historically promoted home ownership. And it has caused people to not really think rationally about whether home ownership makes the most sense at certain points in their lives versus the possibility that renting makes the most sense. That's point number one. You know, point number two is people are going to eventually always want their own homes at some point in their lives. So where we are now is at a point where we need to really start to rethink, as a country, how we create a housing market that really works for the sustainable future.
Well, finally, let's look ahead to next week in the stories we're watching. Rana, what's on your radar?
So I've been watching the ongoing news about J.P. Morgan very carefully. You know, the bank is just under fire for so many things right now, and the CEO, Jamie Dimon, of course, with it. Federal regulators are looking into the trading losses, $6 billion of trading losses from the London whale, and what Dimon and other executives knew and when, and did they not tell regulators. There's also investigations into how they may have improperly stated mortgage losses, involvement with Bernie Madoff. I mean, mean, it's just everything under the sun. And, you know, particularly for Diamond, who, of course, is widely credited as being the best risk manager in the finance business, I just wonder how it feels to be in that spotlight. And when all this clears, and I have no reason to think he's going to be implicated in anything, particularly criminally or even civilly, when all this clears, is this guy going to move on to a different part of the finance business, particularly since banks are under so much pressure? Is he going to leave and go to private equity or a hedge fund like so many others have done?
I tell you, Rana, I don't think he ever will. He has been a banker his entire career, and his identity is so wrapped up in J.P. Morgan. And he's not that old. You know, he's in his 50s. And the board just gave him a vote of confidence. I say he tries to ride this out and then, you know, becomes Jamie Dimon the hero again.
But if the board gave him a vote of confidence, I mean, the board can sometimes turn on people pretty quickly. What would it take for them to do that?
Oh, that's pretty simple. J.P. Morgan would have to start losing money. And they are a long way from doing that.
Well, Joe, what are you watching?
Well, I'm watching Ted Olson. He had quite the week this week arguing the Proposition 8 gay marriage case before the Supreme Court on Tuesday. But he's also representing New Jersey in its attempt to allow sports betting in the state. He has thus far not been terribly successful. But all the sports leagues have teamed up against New Jersey, even to the point that the NCAA would not allow Montclair State's women's basketball team, which had a wonderful year, to have a home game in the playoffs, which is pretty disgusting. But so anyway, Ted Olson is a great lawyer. This case is going to wind up going to the appeals court and may wind up in the Supreme Court. And, you know, if he were to win, if the state of New Jersey were to win, we would probably see sports betting everywhere in the country and not just in Las Vegas and a few other select places.
Would that be a good thing?
I think it would be. I think if you took sports betting out of the netherworld and you made it legal and you regulated it, you'd actually have less chance.
Tax it,
that's right. You'd have less chance of there being scandals and you'd generate a lot more revenue.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Joan O'Sara with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.